All right. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Mark's been preaching on this, and I'm just going to take out of Romans 12, 1, talk about the mercies of God through it and that subject. So let me have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the author of the scriptures. Through your chosen vessels, and thank you, Lord, we're born again from above because we're your chosen vessels, Lord. Thank you, Christ, for just being all in all to us. So, oh Father, bless the study today, and let us grow in grace, and those that don't know you, that they may come to know you today, Christ. Your almighty power, we pray, Lord. And Lord, these lips and stammering tongue, just use it for your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Romans 12:1. Somebody don't know me there. I'm Mark's father, and I come from the standpoint of being an evangelist. I preached a lot as an evangelist and not as a pastor, so I may say some things not contrary to the word, I hope, but a little bit different. So Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what I'm going to talk about today is presenting our bodies, but by the mercies of God. And, the apostle is actually beseeching them here in Romans. You know, that word beseech after this 12:1 in Romans. After that, it's about 25 more times in the epistles, and 88 of those times it's in Corinthians, because the Corinthians need to be beseeched, because they're not religious growing up. They're not under the commands of the Ten Commandments, or probably no command. Just, you know, Corinth was just a crazy city, and so it was no commandments, and so Paul's going by the mercies of God to them. And, you know, so is everything we do, or when we're talking to people about faith in Christ, is it always a command? It's got to be sometimes by the mercies of God. Why? Because that's what the scriptures teach. He's teaching, you're going to present your body by the mercies of God. So, you know, being religious growing up, I had no mercy. So everything was a command and a duty. And outwardly, I did most of them to be righteous until God showed me my self-righteousness. And hallelujah, he showed it to me. Then I was crying out for Christ to give me his righteousness. And so for 7 months, I cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And one day the Holy Spirit came, and I was saved by grace, and I had the mercy of God. He made me a vessel of mercy. We're going to take a look at that in Romans 9 in a little bit. But so to continue to talk about the mercies, though, just going to set a little biblical foundation here for it. 2 Corinthians 1:3, if you want to turn there or just listen to it, I just got one verse here. And I'm going to just describe the mercies of God from the scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So there's God. He's the Father of mercies. How many people, and I believe that listening today, still know God is the God, a merciful creator, merciful to his creation. He feeds us. He gives us the sun to shine on the good and evil. But they just don't know the Father of mercies. If you're religious, you won't know it because you don't need it, because you're under all the commands and all the duties. You've got duty religion. You don't have no mercy. We need to have mercy. He's making us vessels of mercy. So he's the Father of mercies. So, let's go to his great mercies. Isaiah 54, verse 7. And I'm just going to describe about four or five of his titles for mercies here. Isaiah 54, 7. And let's read 5 through 8. Isaiah 54, 5 through 8. For thy maker is thy husband. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's married to us in Romans 7, 4, if you're born again. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaketh and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, says thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather you. So there's God in Isaiah 54, 7, with his great mercies, he'll gather them. And verse 8, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I have mercy on you, says the Lord thy Redeemer. Hallelujah. Mercy, not judgment. Christ took all the judgment. Now all we have to us is mercy, if we're his. And look at Isaiah 55. This talks about one of his characteristics of mercy, too. Let's read the first three verses in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So we got God's great mercies. He's a father, the God of all mercy. And now we have the sure mercies of David. And they're sure, too, because why? God's the author of these mercies. And they're sure mercies. How many people, I talk to a lot of Muslims up here in Philadelphia, and they're trying to earn mercy. I tell them, you can earn mercy. And the good news is I'm a vessel of mercy. God has made me one. So I got mercy for you to tell you about Christ. If you kill me, you kill me. But I already died with Christ. So we got his great mercies, and now we have his sure mercies. So, the sure mercies of David. And that goes over the sure mercies again. Look in Acts chapter 13.
Good girl. Good girl. Good girl. Oh.
Hello? Do you have your phone on mute?
Okay.
Hello?
Come here, Cha-Cha.
We're going to go to Acts 13. It talks about the four mercies of David from 33 to 37.
Acts 13, verse 33. And it says, God has fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten you. And is concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he says on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he says also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer the Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now, he's saying, the sure mercies of David are by the resurrection of Christ. Come on. I mean, we in the Reformed circles, and I'm there too, we seem to stop at the cross all the time. He died for your sins. He did. He died for your whole nature. He did. But is he the risen Lord? Is he risen? I say that's why we have no power to be witness, because we're not coming up with a risen, exalted king. And it's talking about the resurrection in verse 34. As the sure mercies of David. And, you know, never can bypass the cross. We can't glory in nothing but the cross, but we need to preach the resurrection. Christ is risen. Oh, in the Catholic Church, I never heard of the resurrected Christ. And even on Easter, what are we doing? We're celebrating his crucifixion, kill him again, eating the bread again, and going through the ritual, hoping that our sins are paid for, but not knowing it. Why? Christ isn't risen. If he's risen, he's going to die no more. And the sin debt is paid in full. He can't die again. He's risen at the right hand of the Father. Oh, when that revelation came to me, I was born again. And it was with power, too. Power to be a witness. I had the Holy Spirit. So there again, that's the sure mercies of David. And 1 Peter 1:3, so it talks about his abundant mercy. Now, this is a great scripture here, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope." By what means? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's Peter saying he's begotten us through the resurrection. And we just read, the sure mercies of David are through the resurrection of Christ. Are you risen with him? Am I risen with him? Do I have this new life? Do, you know, I die with him. I'm buried with him. I'm risen with him. Are you risen with him? That's where the power comes from. He's exalted. He has all power in heaven and earth at the right hand right now. The risen Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And look at verse 5 in that 1 Peter. Verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." By what means? The resurrection of Christ. Oh, we not only got to make him known on the cross how he finished the work, but he's risen. If the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, you're still dead in your sins. So so we got his great mercies, his sure mercies, abounding mercy. And now in Psalm 25, verse 6, I'm just going to read one scripture. If you want to go back there, you can. If not, that's okay. I'll just read it. Verse 25, 6. Says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." So there's the Lord's tender mercies, abundant mercies, sure mercies, great mercies. Present your body a living sacrifice by the mercies of God. Because he's a merciful God. And, you know, it's not a duty. It's an overflow of the mercy of God. That's why he's telling us to present our body. And when are we to look for God's mercies? Lamentations 3, 23 and 24. Probably most of us got that verse memorized. Lamentations 3, 23 and 24. It says, verse 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Look at my compassions fail all the time. His compassion in me doesn't fail, but, you know, dying daily to this old man, to this old self-love, my compassion. So his great is his faithfulness. You know, remember somebody I witnessed to one year at a university. I seen him 17 years later. And he looked at me and says, "You're preaching the same thing." "Yeah, saved by grace. Christ is Lord of all." And he says, "Man, you are so faithful." I says, "Well, sing a song to me." This is the evangelist talking, so I get testimonies. And I go, "Well, sing to me, great is my faithfulness. You want to sing that to me?" He looked at me and says, "That's not right." I said, "No, great is his faithfulness. If we have any faithfulness, it's because of his faithfulness." And I got a good scripture for that, about how it's his faithfulness and not ours. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about vessels of mercy. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9. Oh, the Lord is faithful. Praise the Lord. The older I get, I find him more faithful. So, praise the Lord. I'm dying to, me trying to be faithful to his faithfulness in me. All glory to the King. So Romans 9, 22 and 23, we're talking about the mercies of God that we're, you know, we're not commanded to make our body an offering for sin. We're beseeched by mercies. Okay, chapter 9, verse 22 and 23 says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Verse 23, that he might make known the riches of his glory unto vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So we're either a vessel of wrath, we're looking for the judgment of God, or vessel of mercy, all the judgment fell on Christ, the Spirit has come, and now he's the Father of all mercies to me. Praise him through Christ, in Christ, by Christ. Christ is all in all. So what vessel are you today? You still looking for the judgment for your sins, or are they all paid for? Is he going to get you for one in the future you don't confess and go to hell for it? You don't know the God of mercy then. No, for Christ's sake, we're forgiven all. And of course, he's going to lead us to confess our sin and give us mercy and grace to forsake the sin. And but that's until we die. This old wretched nature is with us. And who are these vessels of mercy? Look at 9, we're still in 9, verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are all they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So they're the called ones. And so he's calling us in Isaac, who is the chosen one. And look at 9:11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but to him that calleth. I was just down Upper Darby witnessing here, and a young kid from the church says, you want this brochure? And I told him, I can't be good. He says, neither can I. I said, well, how did you get Christ? He says, I gave my life to him. I says, was it a sacrifice you did? He says, yeah, I accepted Christ. I gave my life. I says, all your righteousness is filthy rags. Christ must choose you. He must call you. And it's a holy calling that he gives you. He does it all. And then the leader of the group who I talked to before, he come and dragged him away. So, but hopefully I planted the seed on him that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of him who wills or works, but it's of God. All these scriptures, his calling. And look at verse 13 and 9. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But I don't understand it. No, but it's written that way. So, Lord, give me faith to believe it. And that's the way it is, because God wrote it, and it's forever settled, his scripture. Look at 9:15. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it's God's choice. It's God choosing. He will. These are the I wills of God. Ain't my will. Not I will accept. I will follow. No. God will. He will have mercy. And he will have compassion on whom he will have compassion. Hallelujah. Why he'd choose a wretch like me, I never know. But he did. And I praise his name for the mercy he's bestowed on me. The spirit he's put in me to know these things are real. So a quick devotional by Charles Spurgeon on that verse 15. I'm going to read it. Only take a minute or two. It says, and he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. In these words, the Lord, in the plainest manner, claims the right to give or to withhold his mercy according to his own sovereign will. As the prerogative of life and death is vested in the monarch, so the judge of all the earth has a right to spare or condemn the guilty as he seems best in his sight. Men by their sins have forfeited all claim upon God. They deserve to perish for their sins. And if they all do so, they have no ground for complaint. If the Lord steps in to save any, he may do so if the ends of justice are not thwarted. But if he judges it best to leave the condemned to suffer the righteous sentence, none may arraign him at the bar. Foolish and imputed are all those discourses about the rights of men to be all placed on the same footing, ignorant if not worse, are those contentions against discriminating grace, which are but the rebellion of proud human nature against the crown and scepter of Jehovah. When we are brought to see our own utter ruin and our ill desert in the justice of the divine verdict against sin, we no longer cavil at the truth that the Lord is not bound to save us. We do not murmur if he chooses to save others as though he were doing us any injury, but feel that if he designs to look upon us, it will be his own free act of undeserved goodness, for which we shall forever bless his name. How shall those who are the subjects of divine election sufficiently adore the grace of God? They have no room for boasting, for sovereignty most effectually excludes it. The Lord's will alone is glorified. The Lord's will is glorified, and the very notion of human merit is cast out to everlasting contempt. There is no more humbling doctrine in Scripture than that of election, none more promotive of gratitude, and consequently none more sanctifying. Believers should not be afraid of it, but adoringly rejoice in it. So that's Spurgeon on 9:15 of Romans. And praise the Lord. So look at 9:24. Even us, when he called us, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. That's us, the Gentiles. We're not Jewish, we're Gentiles. And what's he called us? And what's he going to call us here in 25? And he says also in the OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. So we're beloved of the Lord for Christ's sake. We're beloved of the Father of mercies for Christ's sake. The Spirit bears witness. Are you one of his beloved, or is he still out to get you? If he's out to get you, you're still a vessel of wrath. If you're one of his beloved, you're a vessel of mercy. So we're called the children of God. So how's this mercy work in life? So we'll go to the scriptures here. So that's how he worked it out in Romans 9, and we've seen his mercies, his attitude. Now, how's this going to work out in a merciful life that we should have? If you give everybody what they deserve, you just don't have mercy yourself. Then you'll get what you deserve from God, pay for your sin, and go to hell. And I don't want what I deserve, because I deserve hell. I get mercy because of Christ, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy. He's paid it all for me. He's risen for me. I'm risen in him. New life in Christ, a life of mercy. All right, so he says in there again in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Okay, and that's wholly acceptable unto God, and it's our reasonable service. So how are we going to present our bodies? I got to do it. It's my duty. It's my command. Nope. He's saying, by the mercies of God. And he's beseeching them. He's like begging them. He's having pity on them and saying, you know, and Paul's just beseeching the Romans here. After all I told you, and you still don't present your body, you still live for your bodily appetite, your bodily desires, and I'm beseeching you about everything I told you about this merciful Lord who died for you, who is risen, who has given you the Spirit, who has given you grace and mercy. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't live after these bodies no more. By the grace of God that works in us. So present your bodies, risen with Christ, holy. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. You can turn there if you want. If not, just listen. It's one scripture. 2 Timothy 1:9. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was. So, are we holy? Yeah, why? is produced in us by the holy calling. The Holy Spirit, he dwells in us, and we're holy, we're set apart, we're sanctified, we're saints. Every epistle, Paul always talks about the saints, to the saints here, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Galatia. Can't we say we're saints? Are we set apart to God? I am. I'm a vessel of mercy because God said it. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it because in myself, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. That's why I just don't doubt my salvation, because the first day I believed 40-some years ago, I could do nothing, and today I can do nothing. Christ did everything. I'm secure in Christ. If he fails me on judgment day, if he isn't there judging it with the wounds in his hands and feet, I go to hell. I got no other hope. But it's a sure hope. It's a sure mercy. Christ is the everything. So, presenting our bodies holy and acceptable. And so in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you just left 2 Timothy, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Remember, this is how it should be lived out in us according to the scriptures. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." Another scripture, I didn't find it. It says, look at verse 19. "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" So you're not your own. You're bought with a price. So we glorify God in our body. We don't live for our bodily desires. I'm lazy. I want to witness. And yeah, you don't want to go to hear the word. That's your body. You need to, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, say, "Christ, strengthen me. Put your mercies in me to go hear the word of God, to support the brethren. Oh, Lord, give me mercies that I don't just feed my fleshly appetites, this body. What's it need? More food? Better food? Different food? Just needs food to survive. 3/4 of the world don't have food. And we're so occupied with it. We got to get on. That's our body presented as a living sacrifice. Lord, to me to eat is Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." And I feel that God's been working on that for me for 40 years. And it's like it's the same it's been 40 years ago. It's like, "Lord, when are you going to deliver me from this?" And if he don't deliver me, he paid for that sin anyway. I know he did. I don't desire that, but I desire to glorify him, whatever I do. Whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. Well, he'll work that in me to his glory. So glorify God in your body. He didn't say in your soul. He says in your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice. My wants, my desires, my so occupied with my physical body. So, Lord, I need mercy. Give me more mercy. You're not your own. And this is the good, faithful scripture. This is a great scripture. We're in 1 Corinthians 6. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 25. Probably on your next page. And he's giving him advice about marriage and not marriage, being single. And now he's talking about, in verse 25, concerning virgins, "I have no commandment of the Lord." And now that stops. And now he's given this great statement. "Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." So how is Paul saying he's faithful? He obtained mercy to be faithful. It's just not a duty to perform, but by mercies, Lord, by your great faithfulness, Lord, make me more merciful, Lord. Make me more faithful, Lord. By your mercies, I obtain mercies of the Lord to be faithful. We need to be faithful. By how? By obtaining mercy. Oh, I got to do more of this and that. No, you just got to go to Christ, go to the cross, go to the Father of mercies, ask him to do it. As we behold Christ, the glory of Christ in the mirror, we're changing that very image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So mercy to be faithful.
You're going to that throne of mercy to be faithful? We need to go to it. So this is the mercy life in the scriptures that I'm seeing out of it. And the principle of the mercy life, Matthew 5:7. Most of that continue in the Bible, you probably already know what I'm going to say there. Matthew 5:7. Okay, Matthew 5:7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Okay, in my old religious eyes, when I was still blind, I would hear this scripture and says, I must be merciful to obtain mercy. So I'm going to try to be merciful to people. And same way with 6, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So I now I got a hunger and thirst after righteousness to be filled. And how am I doing all these things? In the power of my religious flesh. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now I got to try to be meek, so I inherit the earth. What do they do out of all these merciful commands that God's able to do in our heart? They make laws and rules out of them. They put themselves under the law. And if you die under that law, you'll perish by the law. Even these teachings of Christ can become a law for you. They're not mercies. They got to be mercies. God's mercy. He gives it freely. So when he gives you mercy, then you're able to be merciful. And I don't know how many people I run on the streets. Well, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Well, that's another law to them they're trying to do. And if they don't forgive others, they're going to hell. I said, that's not mercy and grace. That's works. I'm trying to be humble. Well, if you're trying to do it and you're succeeding, that's works. So you're going to try to be merciful? It's not in you. What's in us? Self. What's in us? A wicked heart. What's in us? Man at his best is altogether vanity. Oh, I ran into this dear saint on the street today, and I says, how about your good deeds? She says, they're like filthy rags, and don't even ask me about my best, because my best is altogether vanity. And she was just rejoicing in Christ. She took a few tracks. She says, I'll go talk to the young girls today about this. So, oh man, she was such a breath of fresh air. Why? She wasn't talking about her doing it. She was talking about Christ doing it. She was talking about his mercy. And, you know, his mercy enables us. It empowers us. So a principle of life about mercy, 5:7. Some old life is trying. The new mercy life is dying and rising in Christ. Not trying. It's dying. So even the repentance, John 15:5. Christ says, without him, we can do nothing. And then, so God gives me mercy and grace, and what do I say? I can do nothing. And then he gives me repentance and faith, then what do I say? Through Christ, I can do all things. That's God's mercy. Is his mercy working through us, or is it us still trying to do it? Oh, it's got to be his mercy. He's so merciful, we can't even imagine. Christ is so glorious in his mercy and his grace towards sinners that the natural human will can't comprehend this God in the flesh. That's why it's not free will. You can't comprehend the glory of Christ in that human body, that this is the everlasting God, that all things were created through and by Christ, that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world didn't know him. And it's all to his glory. You can't see it unless the Holy Spirit puts the mercy and grace in you. Can't see it. Your free will can't comprehend Christ. You need God's will. You need the Holy Spirit to produce that in us. And then who gets all the glory? All glory to our great God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So what do we have that we haven't received? Turn to John 3. John 3:27. John the Baptist talking. And they were asking John, some of his disciples in 25, about purifying. And then he says, in verse 27, John answered, says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So our natural man is a wicked man. He's not a spiritual man. He has no mercy or grace. God the Holy Spirit comes. We're born of the Spirit. Now we got the Spirit. Now by His mercy, we're able to put the death, the old man. We're able to have mercy to present our body as a living sacrifice. And where did we get all this? It's got to be given to you from heaven. We don't have nothing that hasn't been given to us. It just didn't come from us. It came down from heaven, like Christ came down from heaven. So John answer says, a man can receive nothing except it be given unto him. And what's Galatians 6:3 says, when a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Are you nothing today? I'm nothing. I'm claiming nothing but Christ. I got nothing. I am nothing. I can do nothing without Christ. I'm done. But now by His mercy, by His marvelous grace, I can do all things through Christ. He's made me a vessel of mercy. How do I know that? I know my old religious life. I never had mercy. You always get what you deserve. Just don't get mercy because mercy ain't there. Christ ain't there. Oh, He's there in a type and a shadow, and He's there in a form of godliness, but He isn't there as a risen, merciful God who paid for every sin and has sat down with all power and puts His Spirit in you so you can glorify Him and not yourself. You can glorify His work and not your work. So we can't receive anything unless it's given to heaven. So it all comes as a gift to God. All right, so it's a gift. Back to Romans 12 again. Romans 12. Before I go back to Romans 12, Mark, should I ask anybody if there's any questions or anything? Yeah, any questions out there so far? Okay, onward and I hope downward for us and upward for Christ. I'm okay. Okay. All right. So we're in the part of mercy life that He's given us. We can't receive nothing that's been given to us. We are nothing. We can do nothing without Christ. But now through Christ, we can do all things. Oh, I was watching a video. This kickboxer had a shirt on. I can do all things through Christ. And then halfway through the film, I forget who was doing it. And he shows the guy sitting on the guy's shoulder, beating on his head to a pulp, beating him down and winning the match. And then he says, that's Christ. I says, that's not Christ in the Bible. That's not the God of all mercies. That's not the God of all grace. That's your body. You need to lose your body if you lost your life yet in Christ. Oh, man. So even as I say this, I says, you know what? I didn't pray for that guy. Now, Lord, put it on my heart to pray for him, because he can't have nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven either. I profess the same way. I'd have done the same thing in my mind, maybe not physically outward, because I was too much a Pharisee to be seen of men. So we're talking about now the gift. Romans 12 again. Remember, Romans 12:1, that's the scripture I'm going. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So now he says in 12:6-8 about gifts. He says, then having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, of ministry, let us wait on ministering, and he that teaches on teaching. In verse 8, on he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if we're trying to show mercy, we won't have cheerfulness. Now, if it's the Holy Spirit working the mercy in us through this new life that we have, we'll do it with cheerfulness. Why? Because it's a blessing from God. He chose me to be a vessel of mercy. He's put this in me. And I'm rejoicing. I'm cheerful. At least I think sometimes I am. I don't know if I really am. But because you don't look at your countenance. And when I think of myself, I just think of wretchedness. But when I think of Christ, cheerfulness. So
Hallelujah. So mercy with cheerfulness. It's the work of God. How about God's providence in this great mercy? Philippians 2:27. Okay, in 25, Epaphroditus is sick and Paul's missing him. And, you know, he longed after the Philippian believers because he prayed for them. Now in verse 27, he's talking about Epaphroditus. For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So there's God's providence to heal Epaphroditus. Paul was rejoicing after that because he knew Epaphroditus was such a great worker in the Lord by the mercies of God. I mean, he prayed for Philippi all the time. And, you know, not only Paul, but God had many spirit-filled saints there laboring in that first church. But God had mercy on him. So when we get sick, near unto death, God's able to heal us. Yeah, we can go to the doctors and take some medicine, but it's in God's hands. You know, you can die from swallowing water the wrong way if God so wills it. I mean, we got a time we're going to die. It's an appointed time. Now, are we reckless or careless? No. But we should be overemphasized with our body, presented as a living sacrifice to Christ. Take these desires away. Lord, this body wants to sin all the time in certain areas. Lord, crucify that. Lord, give me mercy for that. I present it to you, Christ, not because I'm commanded to, Lord, because of your great mercy, say Christ. You died for me when I was yet hopeless and helpless. You gave your life for me, Christ, your life's blood. You saved a wretch like me, Lord. And now I'm trying to think of the scripture. I couldn't find it where it says, now don't live unto yourself, but unto him who loved you and gave himself unto you. So if that's God's mercy working, that's unto you, Christ. These sins of the body, Lord, overcome them so I can be involved in your service, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord, for your glory, O Christ. So his providence, he's going to work it out because he's in control of all things. So we got the gift of mercy. We got God's providence working. We can't receive nothing. We got God making us vessels of mercy and mercy to be faithful. So we can glorify God in this body. So risen with Christ. Now, how are these things continually being contained? Turn to Hebrews 4:16. Maybe most of us know this. This is kind of one of my favorite verses. Hebrews 4:16. So, says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we come to the throne where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're coming to the Father through Christ, sometimes we pray to Christ. It's not wrong. Paul prayed to Christ. Stephen, when he was stoned, prayed to Christ. So, you know, I get weary if you can't ever say Christ and you always saying him. Is Christ you to you, or is he a him to you? When you go to him, is it him somewhere far away sitting at the right hand of the Father, but by the Spirit he's not intimate and you don't have union and communion with Christ? You can't say you, Lord. It's always got to be him through the Father. I mean, nothing wrong with that. The scriptures talk like that sometimes, but it also talks about union and communion with Christ. How many people are going to be shocked on judgment day when all judgment in John 5:22 has been handed over from the Father to the Son? There he is on the great white throne judgment, and he's got wounds in his hands and his feet, and he's in glory. Father, return unto me the glory in John 17:5 that I had before the world was. He's back in glory, and at the white throne, it's Christ standing there. What do you think these religious leaders like popes and Confucius are going to say on judgment day? They're going to say, I didn't think you were one like you are. You're the Almighty. Yeah, and I never knew you. And he's going to cast them into hell. And all those that profess the name but don't know him in the heart, Christ hasn't been revealed in his glory. It's got to be a revelation. Man can't get it. His free will can't go there. It's got to be a revelation through the scriptures by the Holy Spirit. Christ is God in the flesh. And we go to that throne of grace to obtain mercy. And there he is, ever living intercession at the right hand of the Father. There he is right now at the heaven. Lord Jesus, you're right there right now making intercession for me. My faith won't fail because you're the author and the finisher of it. Thank you for mercy, Lord. But Lord, would you take care of it? Let me present my body as a living sacrifice. I don't have to serve it. Lust after the things of the body that needs more, wants more. It wants what it sees. That's covetousness. If you want what you're seeing, that's where you're living most of the time. Your eyes are beholding things and you wonder. I can't even walk through a mall. I quit going to the malls to witness because on all the windows, all they got is covetousness and half-naked women on the window. And I can't even walk through the malls to witness anymore. It's like going down to the beach to witness. I can't do that. Why? Covetousness. I'd be beholding things with this wicked eyes. And I'd be saying things with this wicked tongue. But all, present your body, your eyes, your tongue. Bob, you, living sacrifice, Christ, do it. Yeah, you're going to be like a recluse. Yeah, I'm shut up to Christ, my beloved. What do you think eternity is going to be like? We're married to Christ for all eternity. Do you know Christ? When people say, thank you, Father, you died for me, I think sometimes hearing in prayer, I say, do they know you, Christ? Father didn't die. The Son died. It pleased the Father to kill his own Son. The Father was bruising his own Son. It's the Son who died. So I just say that because I was so religious in my life. I said those religious prayers. I said the words, but no reality of Christ in my heart. So thank you, Lord, for mercy to save a wretch like me. So go into that throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time of need. So, man, we can go there all the time, anytime. And I need help all the time to present this body a living sacrifice unto Christ by mercies, by his goodness, by his kindness. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. So, hallelujah to the Lamb. Okay, in closing, Colossians 3:12. Remember, this is the life. This is the merciful life he gives us that are born again, who by his mercies could put off this body. Okay, 3:12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bowels of mercy. That bowels is our inward affections, pity or sympathy. So we especially should have that for the saints, the love to the saints, all to be praying for, to have inward affections for out of the way for restoration and, you know, Lord, whatever it takes. And if you're not receiving mercies, they're receiving judgment. And we should have mercies, sympathy for lost people, for poor lost sinners. Christ, when he gave him the seven woes in Matthew 23, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, he says seven times. And then at the end of the letter, he says, how many times I would have gathered you in, like a mother chick would have gathered her hens, but you will not come to me. And they will not, because they cannot unless the Father draws them. But Christ knows all things. And he was just weeping over him after he just upbraided him. So it's easy to upbraid people for judgment because that's where we live in this world. But we've got to live in another world of mercy. I mean, if we have no mercy as those believers in Christ, there's no mercy in the world then. Human mercy, and that goes to the corner and they kill one another. But God's mercy is long-suffering, patience, doesn't seek its own. That's God's love and God's mercy working in us. So what are you, a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy? God knows. I don't know. And it's between you and him. And all I can say is when he produced mercy in me, I couldn't believe it. I knew it was him because I know the old man. And the old man is sure isn't merciful except to himself. But by the grace of God, a new man Okay, and the last one I'm going to close with is Jude. I think it's verse 21. Jude 21. Okay. Final exhortation, or a merciful exhortation. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So looking unto God. Anybody, still got a little time, I'm going to read the psalm. Before I read that, any questions or comments?
Hello, just seeing if anybody has any questions or comments. I don't see any. Okay.
Okay, let's close by reading Psalm 136. You ain't got mercy yet. Maybe this one will throw some mercy at you. Because all that comes from those nail-scarred hands. Psalm 136. I'm going to close with this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. Brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, his mercy endures forever. To him which divided the Red Sea in parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him which led people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. For him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. Slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endures forever. Has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. That's why David is called the sure mercies of David. He sees the mercy of God in everything. And so we need to be seeing more and more of it by his mercy and grace. In Christ's name, amen. Should I pray, Mark? Or?
Does anybody else have any? Does anybody have any questions or comments?
No.
Or scriptures? I'm looking on the line to see if anybody has any there. His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Anita says. And
yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hi, Ro.
Hi.
And then there's Kim and Steve and Ashok. A couple other people watching up there, Kim. So let's pray then. Did you want to pray that, or you want me to?
Yeah, you too.
Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the mercy, for your great mercy, O God. Where would we be? We would all be under your condemnation and judgment, but yet, God, you have shown great mercy towards us, and the greatest of that display is that you have given your only Son, Lord God. What an incredible reality, and that when we know the mercy of God, we are thus able to be merciful to others because we have received mercy. We have seen that we don't deserve anything, but we deserve, but Lord, you have given us your grace. What amazing reality. I pray that it would be living and alive in each of us, that we would know this mercy of God, and thus we would display it to others. And we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.